This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, Eddie Pasca.
How we doing, Raider Nation? Welcome to the Week 12 edition of the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, Eddie Pasca, filling in for JT the Brick, although we will hear from JT later in this podcast. Well, it's been a busy week for the Silver and Black, obviously headed down south to Mexico City, and were not able to return with the result that they wanted, falling to the New England Patriots 33-8. And in the wake of that result, the team announced Tuesday afternoon that they had parted ways with defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. and assistant head coach of defense John Pagano will be taking over the play calling duties for the remainder of the season. And defensive tackle Justin Ellis said as much when asked about the team's decision to move on from Norton. And, you know, he said, hey, you know, we haven't played up to our talent level. And unfortunately, because of that, Ken Norton Jr., not a member of the Silver and Black anymore. And so, but yeah, he will be taking over the play calling duties. And in kind of an interesting twist of events, he's going to be calling plays against Bill Musgrave. Musgrave started this season as the Broncos quarterbacks coach, but the Broncos decided earlier this week to move on from a coordinator of their own in Mike McCoy, promoting Musgrave from within to be the offensive coordinator. So an interesting kind of tit-for-tat chess game that's going to be going on this week as the Silver and Black host the Denver Broncos in a game that is vitally and crucially important for both teams as we head down the stretch run here of 2017. So we have a great lineup on this week's edition of the Official Raiders podcast. We spent some time with left tackle Donald Penn. We also welcome Matt Walks, social media manager of the Oakland Raiders, and we spent a little bit of time with Randy Hill, who you've probably seen his work on Raiders.com. He is the host of Beyond the Cut, a really cool feature that we've started this season. He's a celebrity barber extraordinaire, and I think you're really going to enjoy that conversation. And we also catch up with JT, who spent a little bit of time with Dave Logan, the official voice of the Denver Broncos.
All right, so we're very happy to welcome left tackle Donald Penn to the Official Raiders podcast. So, Donald, thank you for the time, per usual. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's start here. We're in the holiday season, Thanksgiving right around the corner, and you do something that I think is really cool and very unique in the NFL. You don't see that often. And when it comes to community things, not only do you talk the talk, but you walk the walk too. So I know that earlier this week, you and the rest of the O-line did a very cool thing for the local Oakland community here. So you want to just share about that and kind of how did that whole idea, that nexus, come to be?
Yeah, man. You know, I'm just blessed to be in a position to be able to give back. You know, growing up, I always said if I ever made it to where I could give back to the needy, I would. It's something that I started back in Tampa with a couple other guys that were rookies around that time, Davin Joseph and Jeremy Trueblood. We tried to come up with something where we could help out the community because at that time we were rookies, we didn't have a foundation, and we tried to come up with something that we could all do together. So we came up with like an O-line turkey time where we all took money out of our check, you know, to pay for the meals to get a family and take time out of our off day to actually give them out ourselves instead of having other people do it. And it's something that we started, you know, what, 12 years ago. And, you know, I brought it to Oakland, you know, 4 years ago when I came out here. And it's still going strong. And it's still going strong in Tampa, too. You know, the good thing is, man, I wouldn't be able to do it without the support of my offensive linemen guys because, you know, they have to say yes. And when I asked them, you know, they were all on board. You know, they're all ready to go. They're all helpful. You know, some of these guys don't have foundations, so this is a way for them to give back. And I'm just happy to help and happy to give back and help families out as I can.
You know, and obviously the turkey time is the one that's kind of on everyone's mind right now. But you do so much more than just this as far as your off-the-field stuff through the season. We were with you early this year when you went to do the school backpack giveaway. And like you said, it takes, you know, your offensive linemen have to say yes. You look at that event, too, and you had a couple guys show up, too. So, I mean, how rewarding has it been to not only see your foundation grow, to see your impact on the community be able to increase the longer you've been in the league, but to have your guys doing it with you and to be helping you out and to be, you know, step in step with you, doing what's obviously like something that's very important to you.
You know, you always wish you could do more. You know, that's the thing that always comes in my head. You know, if I could do more and more and more. You know, this year was my first year doing a back-to-school drive. So, you know, that's a way where I could do more. And I'm trying to do more. So I am happy that I'm able to expand it a little bit. But, you know, I do my free football camp in L.A. I'm going to try to bring it out here this year. So I'm going to try to expand with that. I'm going to try to have one out here in Oakland, too, and one in L.A., because a lot of fans ask me, why don't you do one in Oakland? So I'm going to try to team up with Marshawn and get together with his and try to join in with his with my foundation this year so I could get that going. And then, you know, I got my Christmas drive that's coming up that I do. I take 25 kids shopping in Target. And like I say, I can't do it without them, because when I do that, I bring my teammates out with me. So each kid can have an actual NFL player with them instead of, because it's hard for me to keep up with all 25 kids at once. But I'm just happy and excited to be able to do this. Man, I love kids. So, you know, everything, like if you hear what I'm talking about, everything my foundation does, or everything I try to do, evolves around kids, because I feel like kids are innocent, man. You know, they rely on adults, you know, so that's why I try to help out kids.
You know, speaking of your offensive line, you know, one thing this year on the field, Steph, we've seen the athleticism of you big fellows, right? You obviously caught some touchdowns in your career last year. You know, John has been moonlighting as a kick returner when Cordero, they don't kick to Cordero. Marshall with his now famous fumble recovery. It's got to be good to see the athletic big man getting some love, some run on the offensive side, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if Marshall gonna call his love as much as other people, man. We've been getting on Marshall about it. It's been all fun and games and jokes, but, you know, that's one thing we take pride in. We're an athletic offensive line. We feel like, you know, we can run any scheme in the NFL that's given to us. And, you know, we joke around a lot, and you got to have tough skin in our room. And we joke around a lot about athleticism. So, you know, when John did that, that's big. When I catch those touchdowns, it's big. You know, we do it for all the big guys across the world, you know, that don't get to touch the football. It's always a lineman's dream.
All right, so you can't include yourself. Donald Penn has to be taken out of the equation. Who's the most athletic offensive lineman you've played with, gone against in your career? Who comes to mind when you think of, you know, big guys in the front who can also do, you know, just athletic guys in general?
There's a guy I know him very well. Like, I know him too well. His name is Donald Penn. Nah, I'm messing with you. man, you know who's a very athletic guy that you wouldn't think of is, you know, Rodney and Gabe Jackson, you know, for their size and their build. They're pretty athletic and can do things that will amaze you. Like, when Rod runs and gets out in space, like, he moves like a cat sometimes, man. Like, he really surprises me when he gets out in space and the way he can move. You know, because looking at me, you're like, ah. But when he gets out there and moves, Rod and Gabe, they really impress me a little bit.
Obviously, you know, since you've been with us, you've been so good with us since you got here, letting us behind the scenes, going to spend time with you in L.A., doing all this great stuff. And, you know, you're one of those guys who really kind of understands the media aspect of it, right? You know, I think that's why you're such a fan favorite, is you're accessible. People see your face on NFL Network, you know, on Raiders.com. You're there. I mean, have you always been like that? Have you always been as open and kind of honest and transparent with the media as you've been with us these past couple seasons? Or is that kind of something that's developed as you've gotten older in the league?
I mean, it's a love-hate thing with the media. If you have a good media group that supports you and doesn't, like, try to stir up stuff and try to, you know, ask those questions that they know is going to get you, you know, upset or knows going to try to start stuff, you know, then it makes it easy. And, you know, I've been lucky enough, you know, in Tampa and here to have a great group of guys, you know, the guys in our media room that we see every day, you know, in the locker room, they're good guys. So that helps and makes it easier on me. And, you know, I'm a straight up guy. I try to tell you how it is. You know, I don't know if that might be why they like me or what, because I try to tell them how it is. Like, you know, like I've been saying, like, you know, like I've been telling them all this year, my play ain't been where it wants to be, where I want it to be. You know, I'm working my butt off. I'm still striving hard, but I haven't been playing like I've been wanting to play. And I keep it real. And I don't know. That's just me. And I'm always going to do that. So I don't know if that's why the media likes me or what, but I'm always going to keep it real and tell you how it is, because I want that brought to me, you know, because, like, at the end of the day, film don't lie. You know, so at the end of the day, if the media people actually take time and watch film, they're going to see what they want to say. So I'm gonna tell them before they go and do that, if they do that. You know, I just try to just keep it real.
We're chopping up with left tackle Donald Penn on the Official Raiders podcast. And Donald, we're going to get you out of here on this one. Two games under 500, not necessarily what this team wants to be, but still right in the thick of things in the AFC, as wild as that is. You've had, since you've been here, countless battles with Von Miller and these Denver Broncos. I mean, it might be kind of a broad kind of question, but what's the key to kind of being successful against them on Sunday?
You know, we gotta perform as offense, because their defense is the strength of their team, and they go as far as the defense takes them. So, you know, as offense, we gotta come out here and take control of the game and you know, run the ball and make sure we're on the field a lot and putting up points, because their defense is a great defense, and my hat's off to them. They've been playing great football on the defensive side, and that's their strength, and we know that. So we're gonna have to go up there and perform on offense and put some points up on the board. It's not gonna be easy. That's a great team over there, but for us to win, that's what we're going to have to do.
All right, once again, left tackle Donald Penn. Donald, thank you for the time. Appreciate you. Good luck on Sunday.
All right, y'all have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Donald's one of our favorites here at Silver and Black Productions. A guy who, he said it best. You know, Donald's going to tell you like it is, and I think that's why he's become such a fan favorite for the Silver and Black. Now we transition from Donald into the social media manager for the Oakland Raiders, Matt Walks.
As the social czar, as you just like to call yourself, what do Raider Nation, what do they need to know about our social channels, our social platforms? Who is your, I'm going to put you on the spot, favorite Raider follow on social media?
Well, first of all, I feel obligated to say that legally I cannot call myself a czar. It's in my contract. But thank you. I'm really happy to be here. And I got a good name for you, I think. Marshall Newhouse. He's MNewhouse73 on Twitter. And it's just a great feed, man, a great mix of GIFs, and he's very self-effacing, and he engages with fans a lot, throws it back to his alma mater. It's really just a good, well-rounded feed.
So for the full disclosure of our audience, you and I are college friends, and I have to take a little credit for you wearing the silver and black, but you have one of the, if not my favorite, one of my top three favorite stories of how you became a Raider. So we'll skip all the boring mumbo-jumbo, but take me into, you were in a conference room upstairs, and what happened in that moment that you decided you needed to be an Oakland Raider?
Well, yeah. Thank you for telling the first half of that story for me, Eddie. The last half is that I was about to make my decision on whether or not I wanted to join this organization. And as you have said many times to me, everybody looks better in the silver and black. And I was sitting up there in the, I think this is a John Madden conference room, and looking out across the beautiful Alameda skyline. And, you know, the championship flags were fluttering in the breeze. The trophies, there's a huge photo of the trophies there. And the lure was, it was undeniable.
So now we are heading into week 12, and the Pro Bowl vote is upon us. And this year, in particular, there's a big social push to get these guys into the Pro Bowl, to get our guys headed to Orlando. So this is the world you live in. This is your area of expertise. Tell Raider Nation, how do we get the Derek Carrs, the Amari Coopers, the Khalil Max, how do we get them to the Pro Bowl?
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so the process this year has been streamlined and sort of safeguarded against bots that would, in previous years, flood votes in. So all of the voting on Twitter, at least, is done through DM. So we have a pinned tweet out there at Raiders where you can visit and you can vote for all of your favorite Raiders through DM. We'll also have a push this afternoon for our own Marquette King, who currently, and this is breaking news, currently leads the NFL in AFC vote getters for punters. So no AFC punter has more Pro Bowl votes currently than our own at Marquette King. So we'll have a push trying to run that number up even higher this afternoon, and we'll see who else we can get in.
Look at that, a little breaking news on this That's week's right. edition of the Officials Raiders
when is
podcast.
When is this airing?
Wednesday night.
Okay. So. All right. Well, go back to our feed, scroll up. You're going to see it there. Go and cast your vote.
So you've been a Raider now since what, late July, right?
Just before training camp.
So. Yeah. As a man who comes from the outside world, who was indoctrinated into Raider Nation, what has your favorite Raider moment been thus far? I know we're not even a full
sure.
season in yet, but you've seen a lot of interesting, cool stuff since you become a Raider.
A lot of interesting stuff, for sure. I think you have to go with the Thursday night home win against Kansas City. The environment and the crowd was electric, and obviously the way that game ended, I think a lot of fans of football, not even just Raider fans, but a lot of fans of football in general hadn't seen a game ever end quite like that. It's an instant classic, in my opinion, albeit I haven't seen very many classics since I came here.
You know, so we obviously joked about you being the social czar of the silver and black, but in all seriousness, you probably have your finger on the heartbeat of this, you know, this fan base.
Sure.
You see
sure.
the mentions, you see the good mentions, you see the bad mentions, you see everything. You kind of have the voice of this group of people kind of at the forefront. That's what you do every day. Have you been surprised by how passionate and fired up these group of fans are for the Silver and Black?
Yeah, I think the best way to illustrate that is when they were their most engaged. I mean, we've seen some of our best numbers, consistent regular season highs. Those numbers were matched all the way back into the middle of the preseason. I mean, this fan base was has been ready since the middle of the offseason, and instead of a slow climb engagement wise into the regular season, they straight out of the gate preseason were ready.
So we're here wrapping it up with Matt Walks, social media manager for the Oakland Raiders. So Matt, before we get you out of here, tell the people once more, how do we vote? How do we get our guys to the Pro Bowl in 2018?
Yes, all right. Okay, so go to our Twitter feed, at Raiders. There's a pinned tweet there, very top of the feed. Click it. It will open up your DMs, and then you can go position by position and team by team and cast your vote for all of your favorite Raiders.
All right, thank you, Matt. I know you're a very busy man on this Wednesday afternoon, so appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll have you back soon on the Official Raiders podcast.
Thank you for having me, Eddie. Take care.
All right, now we're very excited to welcome in a special guest, Randy Hill, who is the host of, truth be told, one of my favorite new segments that we've started this year for Raiders.com and Silver and Black Productions. It's called Beyond the Cut, where Randy, our celebrity extraordinaire, spends some time with our guys, and he gets them in a different setting, a setting that you necessarily wouldn't see them in, you know, pads off, just kind of chop. And, you know, Randy, I spend, you know, me and my barber obviously have a very tight relationship. I spend probably a little too much time with him. And so I know that these guys really open up to you. So, you know, kind of what, from your point of view, what has been the benefit of having these dudes in the chair and being able to just kind of chop it up while you chop them up?
Let me start with a thank you for that great introduction, man. But yeah, you know, as far as our relationship, you know, just like what you said, it's more than, you know, just a cut. It's beyond the cut. You know what I mean? And from there, you know, they open up to me, I open up to them. You know, it's just a good chemistry for them.
You know, I'm gonna let my bias come through for a second, and you know, I'm not lying where I said this is one of my favorite things that we've kind of unveiled this year. I think it's something that you look across the NFL, and there's not many teams that are doing this kind of stuff, showing this side of their players, and I think it's been awesome. I think that the production is obviously outstanding. Marcus Padilla, one of our videographers, has done a great job. I think you've been the perfect host for this. So kind of take me through
Thank
this, Rand. Take me back a couple months. How did this idea kind of come to be, and how did we get from this being an awesome idea to now being one of the most successful features that we do on the website?
Well, it all started out with me cutting Jalen. And from there, you know, we reached out to numerous players, and it just started trickling in like that. And then I met Mark. Mark had hit me on Instagram. And then I hooked him up for a Hawaii trip he was taking. And we clicked, and he, you know, proposed that to me, and I graciously accepted. And it's been rolling ever since.
So let me ask you this. So my barber, when we were in Florida, we were down in Florida for 10 days, and I was kind of having, not a panic, but I was in a hard place. I needed to have my hair lined up. I needed someone to be there to get me to where I needed to be on game day. And so I called my guy at home in Oakland, and he said, listen, man, he goes, don't go to these people's websites. Don't look on Yelp. Look at their Instagram. Is that, I mean, as a guy who, I mean, you said it yourself, Marcus found you on Instagram and you guys kind of clicked that way. Is that really like the 2017 version of finding a dude who can line you up the right way, is looking at their IG?
Definitely. That's the new business card. You know, you exchange Instagrams and you get a chance to see their work and, you know, kind of person they are. I do that. You know, I own a shop out in Fairfield, and you know, when that's one of the first things I ask somebody trying to get a job here, I want to see their Instagram just to get an idea on who they might be. You know, sometimes it's not all who they are, but you can tell, you know, once you start looking through it.
So obviously you cut, you know, you mentioned Jalen, you cut Carl, you cut Big Jelly. I mean, how do you kind of go from, hey, I'm a dude who obviously is really good at his craft, to now I've kind of become the barber du jour of the Silver and Black. I mean, how does that happen? Is it you cut one guy and he likes what he sees, so he tells his boys? How does that kind of thing work? Obviously, you've cut up Khalil too, our, you know, reigning defensive player of the year. You know, how does that process work? How do we go from, you know, I'm just a guy chopping it up, to now I'm dealing with all these really high level, high profile guys?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call myself the barber du jour, but, you know, as far as, you know, it's just word of mouth. You know, word of mouth is important. And once, you know, you provide a good service and, you know, you ended up being a cool guy, I mean, you know, it's like they're all friends within themselves. So when one of them finds a hookup on something, whether it's a good deal or it's just, you know, just the service alone is great, then you tend to tell your friends and your homies. And that's what they did.
So, Rand, I'm going to put you on the spot here. And without blasting anyone too bad, I know you chop up a lot of our guys. Who is the pickiest mm-hmm. haircut?
The pickiest?
Yes.
Of course, Carl, man, my guy, man. That's my guy right there. But me and him go at it every week about how this week's haircut is better than last week's, or, you know, can you touch up right here, or can you, you know, you got to get this side clean, Rand. Like, you know, that's just something me and him do, you know. But Carl is very particular on everything. I mean, he dissects his play, you know, the way he plays, you know, he's real particular on everything. So that's just Carl, you know.
And man, the devil's in the details, right? Hey, so I know that you cut up a lot of guys, not just our guys. So you don't have to tell the name, you don't have to do anything like that. But have you gotten? I mean, I'm sure you've seen everything across the board since you've been a barber. Have you ever gotten a request where you're like, you know what, that's weird. That's a weird request for me to do with your hair.
Not from any celebrities or artists or nothing like that. You know, like I said, I own a shop, so I cut, you know, a lot of clients in my area, and I've had a client ask me some weird stuff before.
All right, what's the weirdest one?
You know, the weirdest, a back shave.
A back shave.
You know, he was a hairy guy, and he was going on a trip to, I want to say, Hawaii or Miami, somewhere where he's gonna end up taking his shirt off, and he was in a rush. He didn't have time to. His wife. His wife was hospitalized for something, and so she couldn't help him out with that. So he didn't even want to ask me, but he asked me, and I had to politely decline. I mean, it's just not something I'm into.
So he wanted the back shave with the straight razor or what?
We didn't even get that far. It wasn't necessary to get that far. I kind of giggled and laughed. I say, hey, man, that's not part of one of my services. But like I said, with him, he didn't want to ask me. He just needed help. You know what I mean? And so I understood why he asked, but, you know, he asked me and I said no.
Hey, man, good on you for at least hearing him out, man. I don't know if someone asked me, if I was in your position and someone said, hey, can you take the straight razor out and shave my back? I don't know if I would have been able to handle it quite the way you did. So
it's all in the context of how they ask you. You know what I mean? If it was some weird stuff going on, it would have been a different type of no. But it wasn't like that. My man really needed some help, and you know, I kind of steered him in the direction that he might need to go to get that service done.
Hey, man, I feel that, man.
But hey, so, we're all human, man.
Hey, we're all just trying to get by. So. Something completely unrelated to back shaves. So I know that you also line up Khalil, and I think people get they only get to see one side of Khalil, right? They see Khalil, this beast on the field, man, this 5-sack, all pro, everything, defensive monster. But you get to see Khalil when he's chilling at home, when he's enjoying his alone time. So, you know, kind of how did you get to, you know, how did you kind of meet Khalil? And what's something about Khalil that people might not necessarily know just from seeing him on Sundays?
I'm not sure if anybody knows this, but Khalil is one of the nicest people I've ever met, man. He's cool. He's very punctual and always does what he says he's going to do. And I commend him on that. But as far as, you know, him being a beast on the field, he is that. But off the field, man, he's just a real cool, chill guy. Just, you know, a normal guy. And I don't know if everybody knows that about him. You know, he's not caught up in the celebrity type stuff. He's just chill. All the guys are actually like that.
So we're here with Randy Hill, host of Beyond the Cut, which you can catch on Raiders.com and all of our social channels. Randy, appreciate the time, man. So where can the people find, we were talking about the importance of Instagram and social for a barber in 2017. Where can the people out there find you, find your work, and kind of see the really creative stuff that you do?
My Instagram is RanCutYou, RanCutYou, and my shop Instagram is Crowns Barbershop.
Perfect. All right, man. Like I said, we're here with Randy Hill, our host of Beyond the Cut. He cuts a Big Jelly, Khalil, Jalen, Carl. So if you see these guys looking fresh on Sunday, it's probably because Randy spent some time with them earlier that weekend. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for being a guest on the official Raiders podcast.
Okay. Thank you, man. I appreciate you so much, man. Thank you.
So now I'm going to throw it to JT the Brick, who spent some time earlier this week with the voice of the Denver Broncos, Dave Logan.
Thanks, Eddie, and a happy Thanksgiving to everyone on the team there at Silver and Black Productions. Thanks for doing everything you do every week to put this podcast together. I wanted to catch up with my favorite Bronco guest. He's the longtime great voice of the Denver Broncos. We welcome Dave Logan to the official Raiders podcast. Dave, thanks for coming on. And first off, you and I both didn't believe that the Raiders and the Broncos would come into this game with a combined record of 7-13.
Absolutely not. I really, honestly, you know, and I think the Chiefs are a good team, but I had the Raiders and the Broncos battling for the AFC West crown, and it, you know, just hasn't worked out that way. It's been a more than difficult season in Denver, JT. It's been unlike really anything that I've seen. It's the first time the Broncos have had a 5-game, and now it's a 6-game. Losing streak in a single season since 1990, which was my first year calling Broncos games. So it's atypical, it's unusual, and Broncos fans are not used to it.
With the firing of Mike McCoy and now Paxton Lynch going to start in this game, that's a lot of national news coming out of Denver here. What's the thought behind it with John Elway trying to shake it up?
You know what? I thought it was an interesting move. I mean, it's not often we see a coordinator fired midstream, and especially a guy that is in his first season. And you add to that a guy that the Broncos were familiar with. They really wanted Mike McCoy to come back. They wanted his offensive expertise to work with the young quarterbacks. They wanted Bill Musgrave, I think, because they anticipated that Mike McCoy would not be here all that long, not because they thought they were going to fire him, but because they thought he would be a head coach sooner than later, and they wanted a guy in place that they didn't have to then change the entire scheme once again. So, but you knew something was up. It was about 10 days ago that you started to see things in the media that referenced the size of the playbook, and maybe there's too much in the playbook, and maybe we're not focused enough and narrow enough in terms of what we're trying to accomplish. I mean, that word was not created by the media. That came from the organization. When I saw that, I said, you know, it's only going to be a matter of time before somebody is not going to be employed.
Dave Logan joins us, and you saw something similar with Ken Norton Jr. relieved of his duties, and Jack Del Rio had to make a move there. They got to get something going with the Raiders. The Raiders really didn't show up in that game in Mexico City, a game that the Raiders really needed to get back. It would have done wonders for them in the wild card race here, and with Kansas City losing. Your perspective of the Raiders from an outsider looking in, and now you're breaking down film and looking at this team. Carr hasn't had that explosive year coming off the injury. They're trying to get Marshawn Lynch going, but they're trailing in many games, so they have to get rid of the run and go with the pass. And then they got receivers who continue to drop the ball. It's been a struggle also for Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, you said a lot of things that I've seen on tape. I mean, honestly, I when you're 12-4 and you've got a young quarterback that you invest in so heavily in Derek Carr, and I would have done the same thing. I mean, I think he's the kid that is on the rise. I love his game. The games that I've seen, and I haven't seen nearly as many as you've seen, but the ones that I have seen, you know, I've seen what you just said. I've seen the ball. You know, as a former wide receiver, I'm more critical of wide receivers, I think, than most play-by-play guys. But I've seen the ball on the ground too much. I mean, you get paid to catch the ball. You've got to make catches, and you've got to make plays when plays are there to be made. This was a team that, even last year, I mean, the offense led the way, right? The defense was okay in stretches. I thought maybe the defense might improve slightly, but I'm not shocked that the Raiders have had more than their fair share of problems on the defensive end. I am surprised, however, that they haven't been more efficient with the ball on offense.
Dave Logan's our guest, the voice of the Broncos. I look at the no-fly defense. Defense overall third in yards, fourth overall in rush defense, fifth in pass defense, third in third down defensive efficiency. So overall, there are still great players on the Broncos defense. And what's working right, at least, where you believe this defense can keep the Broncos not only in this game coming up, but in these games the rest of the year?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's going to depend on the mindset of the locker room. I think anytime you stand up in front of a team and you say, listen, we've changed offensive coordinators. Okay, now we're changing quarterbacks, and Paxton Lynch is going to be the guy for the remainder of the season. You've got to be careful in that you don't send the message to the veteran players, hey, you know what, this year's lost, and we're playing him to evaluate him for next year. Because veteran players don't care about that. They care about having the guy that they think gives them the best chance to win. And I think that is a delicate argument to make, that right now the Broncos feel like Paxton Lynch gives them their best chance to win at quarterback. I mean, when they opened the competition in the preseason, and it was Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch, and they divvied up the snaps, then it was pretty clear, I think, to everybody, and the players that I talked to certainly, although off the record, knew that Trevor Siemian was ahead, and significantly ahead. Well, Paxton Lynch then was hurt, and he hasn't taken a snap in a game since the third preseason game of the year. So I think it's a difficult task to try to stand up in front of the team and say, hey, we believe this guy gives us our best chance to win games right now. Now, it may turn out that way. They're going to dial back the offense a bit. Bill Musgrave is going to be, and former Raider coordinator, by the way, is going to be calling the plays against the Raiders from this point on. So maybe he's got a better feel for what Paxton likes to do and what Paxton is able to do well. But, you know, I think in terms of your answer, the defense has played well. They've been put in horrible positions by the offense and by special teams. They have broken a couple of times in a couple of games, one against Philadelphia for certain, but it's still a defense that has good players in it. They played really hard against the Bengals, even in a loss this past Sunday, gave up 190 total yards and still lost the game. You don't see that many times in the NFL.
Dave, I remember Lee Steinberg, super agent, friend of the show. He brought Paxton to me at one of the Radio Row Super Bowls one year, and you look at him and his size, and he told me, look, he's got it all, the arm, the size, the ability to be a great pocket passer. This has got to be a big moment for him. He gets to play in this unbelievable rivalry that we both know a lot about. He gets to play in a hostile environment, and obviously he's got the size and strength to really attack a Raider defense that struggled downfield. Do you think he's up for this challenge?
You know what? I honestly do not know. I think we'll find out a little bit on Sunday. But if you look at him, he's got everything you need or anything you would want in terms of being a quarterback. I mean, he's every bit of 6'7". He's probably 245 plus. He's got a rocket for an arm. He can really run. Most guys that size, you know, at quarterback position are not that mobile. This kid can run. So now I think the challenge will be finding out what he's comfortable with in the offense, finding out what he excels in. I think there'll be two or three wrinkles. I really do. Maybe some zone read stuff that they haven't shown because he ran some of that at Memphis. But you've got to find in a matter of two or three days something or some things that this kid really feels confident with and good about, and then go with that. I mean, it's going to be a fascinating process and certainly an interesting look on Sunday against the Raiders.
We're wrapping it up with Dave Logan, voice of the Broncos. Finally, Dave, you're with John Elway often. You recently just interviewed him. His comments about the team got soft. You know him and what he's about and how iconic of a player he is, GM, executive, and what he means to that community. What's he thinking at this point in time? Because he's not a guy who's going to ever admit to a rebuild, and I don't think this is a rebuild, or, hey, we're not done, we're going to wait till next year. What's the mindset of John Elway coming into this game against his hated rival over the years, the Raiders?
Yeah, I think he's frustrated. I think he's angry. I think he's totally confused with what's happened this year. Did not see this coming at all. I don't think anybody did. I interviewed him today and asked him about his comment about the team being soft. And I said, who did you intend that at? And he said, everybody. He said, not just the players, the staff, and it starts with me. He said, sometimes you become complacent when you win a lot and you don't do the little things. He said, we have to get back to the little things. I thought his answer was really, really a good one. He said, listen, I expected some of the players to be upset with me. He said, but my job is not to be liked by the players. My job is to do what I think is best for the organization. It was a really telling, short interview with him, and he was passionate with his answers. And I listen, this is a guy, you and I both know him. He wants to win. He has won. And this is the first time since he's been the president and GM of football that they've experienced a season like this. So this is uncharted water for not only the players and the coaches, but for the front office as well.
Thanks again to the great Dave Logan for joining us on the official Raiders podcast. Now back to Alameda and Eddie Pascal.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week's edition of the official Raiders podcast. A big thank you to all our guests, Donald Penn, Matt Walks, Randy Hill, Dave Logan. We'll see you next week, and go Raiders.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.